You are now listening to the Firehouse Chronicles with Matt and Katie Spinks, a revelatory nuggets episode. Find a comfortable spot where you can revel and bask in the tangible living presence of Jesus Christ in you. You can find more of these Firehouse Chronicles episodes, info on our ministry events, and all of our other resources at thefirehouseprojects.com. But for now, open your beautiful new creation heart and let the truth of His good news wash over you in fresh wave after wave as we join together in a spirit of revelation from Abba, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. All right. Well, what's up, guys? We are back with a new segment of the Firehouse Chronicles that we are beginning that should continue for quite some time into the future, our Revelatory Nuggets segments. And so we've just wanted to expand our videos in these coming years and our podcast as well. These will be on our podcast so you can listen to them on the go or on YouTube and also on our Facebook. So you could find us on all those platforms, and we've wanted to introduce just kind of a new, several new directions, but still keep it under the overarching kind of banner of the Firehouse Chronicles, that series that we've been doing, which is basically just updates from us, teachings from us, prophetic things that we want to release, meditations, all the things that have to do with, Matt and Katie Spinks and our ministry, what we want to release to the world. And so anyway, thanks for tuning in this week. I'm just going to jump right in. We are starting a few sessions on tough scriptures. And so these will be scriptures that seem to, you know, things that people have struggled with in regards to grace, the finished work, the goodness of God, the whack. So many times people wonder, is this stuff even scriptural? And we love the Bible, and so we want to dive into that and answer some of these questions, deal with a bunch of these tough scriptures. I'm going to try to deal with as many as I can over the next few Revelatory Nuggets episodes. And so we will be diving in today to our first segment of Revelatory Nuggets, and it will probably, the tough scriptures series will probably go on for, I foresee, at least three or four parts, maybe more. So thanks for tuning in. We're going to jump into it. First of all, I began to list some of these tough scriptures on Facebook and ask other people for some. And we even got some pushback from folks who said, wow, look at all of these tough scriptures. Maybe you don't, your interpretation of the Bible is wrong. There's so many that seem to contradict the finished work, inclusion, the goodness of God, the grace of God. Maybe you're just drinking the Kool-Aid. And so in our first session on tough scriptures, I thought I would dive into some of the myriads of scriptures that do support the gospel as we see it, the finished work of Jesus Christ, inclusion, ultimate reconciliation, the goodness of God, the grace of God. And so I'm just going to whiz through some of these scriptures and throw them out. So if you are throw them out to you, not toss them out of my Bible. if you have, if you're interested in this stuff, grab a notebook, write these down. I will post these in the link of the video and podcast, as many of these as I can. But you may want to write some of these down and just chew on them. They may challenge you or encourage you. And so anyway, yeah. So I collected so many, and it's still just the tip of the iceberg, but these are the ones that do, and I broke it down into four categories here today. Scriptures that confirm the finished work, scriptures that are the foundation of inclusion / ultimate reconciliation, scriptures that confirm the drunkenness, the whack, and scriptures that just conclude an overall good gospel, the goodness of God. And so I'm just going to go into kind of those four categories. Let's start with the finished work. The finished work of Christ is, I mean, all of these categories are so connected. In fact, you know, they're all kind of just falling under this radical good God that we've been declaring and proclaiming. And so the finished work does just that. What is the finished work? I have so many videos on that, so many sessions, but the finished work is in essence that Jesus Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection, you know, in ascension and co-seated at the right hand, all of the work of Christ that happened 2,000 years ago was more than enough for your healing, for all of humanity's sanctification, justification, glorification, healing, that the whole of the gospel, everything that we need for life and godliness is in him, that we were not just forgiven, but healed, made whole, made complete, and it's all already done as a one-time event that happened through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So scriptures that confirm that, well, John 19, 28 to 30 is the foundational one where it's Jesus says, it is finished. That's a fun one just to dive into. But then the implications of that are all over the Bible. Hebrews 10, 14, the writer of Hebrews says that God has perfected for all time those who are sanctified through one sacrifice, through Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 says that we are holy and blameless in him. In him message is all over the scriptures, and in him refers to what we have in the finished work. So even that itself is so biblical. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10, you are complete in him. That's massive in and of itself. Some translations say you have been made full, but you've been made absolutely, you know, the Greek there communicates that you're so full that you can't get any more full of him. And so the word complete is there. And that, you know, speaks to the fact that we have everything. Romans 8 is another amazing one. I'm just going to look that up on my e-sword here real quick. I highly recommend the e-sword. It's a free electronic study Bible where you can download dozens of translations. And you can compare them to one another. You can get into the Greek, the Hebrew. Let me see here. But I am looking for where it says in verse 30 that those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. And this is talking about what happened in Christ. And they're all past tense words. So that's just a really interesting one to look into. You're not only predestined, you're called, you're also justified, you're even glorified. And I know that challenges almost all of our theologies, but it's all past tense, it's all been done. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. That's a massive one, referring to Isaiah 53. What does that healing include? Well, first of all, it's past tense, and I believe what was included in there was everything, you know. Mental, physical, emotional, spiritual wounds were all healed past tense. So it is finished. Another great one to study. Of course, 2 Corinthians 5. If we are out of our minds, it's for God. That's one that kind of goes with the drunkenness topic later. But later in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, the old is gone. Behold, the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Now, the new creation realities is such a massive topic to unpack that confirm the finished work that we have been made completely new. And so that's a whole world in itself. You know, some translations say if anyone's in Christ, he's in a whole new world. You know, an entire cosmos renewed, cosmos reborn comes from this passage in 2 Corinthians 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God. That's something that's accomplished. This peace is given to us as a gift. And it goes on into Romans 6, another massive passage for the finished work. But can he who died to sin live in it any longer? Therefore, consider yourselves dead to sin. Why? Because something happened. And this communicates this sanctification that's a free gift because of the finished work, that such a massive topic that's all through the scripture, but that we're not trying to get more holy. But when he died, our unholy nature died. When he was raised, we were raised completely holy. That means free from every sort of negativity. It's all at the cross, co-crucified, co-buried, co-resurrected. It's all in Romans 6 there. Also Galatians 2:20, which speaks, you know, of our union, but also says that I no longer live, but the life that I do live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In the KJV, it says of the Son of God. So Galatians 2:20 is another massive one. For the finished work, the beginning of most of the epistles start right out with something of the finished work. Ephesians 1, I already mentioned. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is another one. 1 Corinthians 1, 5-7 says, you've been enriched in every way and that you're not lacking in any gift. That sounds like something pretty freaking complete. So I'm going to move on. That was the first segment where we just, I mentioned some of our favorites, scriptures that confirm and that point to the finished work. Now I'm going to jump into inclusion / ultimate reconciliation. You could call it the restoration of all things. In a sense, you have to explain it well, but you can call it Christian universalism even. But I'm going to go into these inclusion scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:10 says that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, as in Adam all died, so in Christ all are made alive. Crazy. All words there. They point to all people being included. I didn't really explain what inclusion was, I guess, but it means that, you know, it's not just for some who are predestined. It's not just for those who are chosen per se, but it's that all people were chosen in him. It's not even just for those that believe, but it's the glorious gospel of that we're declaring is that this goodness, the gift of God is something that everyone's not just potentially given, but already included into. And so these are some scriptures that are confirming that. Like I mentioned, 1 Timothy 4:10. 1 Corinthians 15:22, 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, one died for all, therefore all died. That says all, not just those that believe, not just those that are chosen, just those that are predestined, just those that are special in some way. All are special. All are chosen in him. Romans 5:18-19, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. More of these all scriptures. Romans 6:10-11 says the word once and for all. And that's another phrase. You just might want to type it into your e-sword or into Google, the once and for all scriptures. They're all over the place. And isn't that interesting? Because the once indicates the finished work. For all indicates inclusion. So there's a massive scriptural basis in those phrases. 1 John 2:2 says that he was the propitiation for our sins, but not just ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So he's saying it's not just for believers. It's not just for Christians. It's for everybody. Romans 11 now gets, this is the one that actually convinced me of ultimate reconciliation and made me lean towards a Christian universalist view. Although it's got to be explained well, again, don't assume you know what all of this means. I'm not unpacking almost any of these scriptures today. I'm just pointing you to them. So if you hear some of these words and they freak you out, take a step back and ask, what is he saying? What is he not saying? I'm not claiming to understand the fullness of all these verses, but I've read them in context. And I believe they are pointing in a direction that's so much more good, so much more gracious, so much more of a full gift of what happened in Christ. So anyway, Romans 11 says that all Israel will be saved when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Now, to me, I see only two categories of people in the scriptures regarding Israel or the Gentiles. And here it says that all of Israel will be saved and that the fullness of the Gentiles is coming in. All means all. Fullness means fullness. To me, I see everybody there included in Jesus. Acts chapter 3 talks about this restoration of all things. Philippians 2:10 says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that's not just forced on people, but it's a promise of Jesus, a supreme victory that everyone will come to recognize him as Lord and Savior in their own life. Another one that points to ultimate reconciliation is Revelation chapter 21, verse 25. At the very end of the book of Revelation, it says that her gates will never be shut. Why are the gates of heaven never shut? I believe it's to point to something that's throughout the rest of the scripture in several places, that people can still come to Jesus even after death, or even after Jesus' return. The gates of heaven will never be closed. So even people that don't believe at that time, I believe in ultimate reconciliation, a restoration of all things, their gates are never shut. Even at the end of the book, it says the Spirit and the bride say, come, and all who are thirsty, come. Who's that talking to? It's beckoning those that still haven't yet received. So, drinking my blackberry sodas, seltzer waters, as I'm on keto diet these days. Helps me in the evenings to get through the intermittent fasting. That's a random side note. we're still on verses. There's so many for inclusion and ultimate reconciliation. Colossians 1:20 says to reconcile to himself all things. Colossians 1:27-28. Let's see. Let's just read that one. Colossians 1:27-28. It's so good. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible about Christ in you. I got to get through my e-sword here and find it for you. It says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Isn't it interesting that as you know, Paul is starting Colossians here and describing the gospel, that he calls it something that was already among the Gentiles. It says, he chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you. So he's preaching this to all the Gentiles, Christ in you. So he's not coming to them saying, this is how you get Christ into you, but he's saying that Christ did something once and for all, and he put himself in you. You are in him. This is the truth. And then it says that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Present them mature in Christ, not make them mature in Christ. Anyway, holy. Colossians 3:11 says Christ is all and in all. Ephesians 4:6 says he's the God and Father of all, who is in all. Paul, when he was describing his conversion experience in Galatians 1:16, says that Jesus was revealed in me. Said it was God's good pleasure to reveal Jesus in me. Interesting language there. He was already in Paul. He just needed to be revealed. I'm going to move on to a few more passages regarding the drunkenness, the whack. This gospel is so good. It makes us intoxicated. I wrote a whole book on it called High on God. You can check it out at highongod.com or on our website, thefirehouseprojects.com. I go into way more scriptures than this, but I'll just give you a few real quick. Zechariah 9:15. Says they will roar and be drunk as with wine when they realize his salvation. Song of Solomon 5:1 says, drink your fill, O lovers, be drunk with love. Isaiah 55 says, all who are thirsty, buy wine and buy milk without money and without cost. Come, all of you. I mentioned Song of Solomon just briefly, but the entire book is filled with the goodness of God, the grace, the dripping intoxication as you get into it. It's such a mystic book on our union that we have. Again, I'm not going to go deep into drunkenness scriptures. I literally have dozens of them listed in my book, High on God. Check that out if you want to know more about the drunkenness. If you're not sure if it's biblical, I go through it all in that book. Lastly, just a few more scriptures here on the goodness of the gospel. We believe in a full gospel, an extravagant, inebriating message that starts with Matthew 4:17 and Mark 1:15. It's way more than just Jesus died for your sins or that God loves you. That's true. Those are true things, but it includes all that and so much more. What Jesus said when he went from town to town was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Namely, revealing that all of the good promises throughout the Bible have been fulfilled in Christ. All the things that you thought were reserved for heaven someday are already yours in Christ. Just stare at those verses, go deep into those. Hebrews 12:22 says that you have come to Mount Zion. You have already come to the heavenly Jerusalem. Ephesians 2:6 says you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We've already got all the full riches of heaven, people, given to us for free. Romans chapter 8, oh my Lord, says that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And he lists off all kinds of things. And I know some people have tried to say, well, there's certain things that weren't on that list. Listen, the point of that list was that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. Shut up. Just getting hammered just thinking about that. Man, there's so many scriptures that talk about our union with God, which reveals such a good God and such a good gospel. What is it? 1 Timothy 1 talks about the blessed gospel of the happy God. I think it's in the Rotherham translation. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that those who are joined with the Lord are one spirit with him. Galatians 2:20, as we have already covered, says that I no longer live, but the life that I live now is by the faith of the Son of God. We have this seamless union where it's like, where did I end? And it's only Christ that's begun. It's this perfect union, still with distinction. I'm not Jesus, but I am one with Jesus. What a good gospel. And I guess lastly, I'll just, say John chapter 15. Oh my gosh, that reminds me of John 17, where he says, the glory that we had in the beginning, Father, I want you to give it to them. Can you believe that? In Isaiah, it says he'll never share his glory with another, and yet he shared his glory with us. That speaks of the crazy union. And let's just close these amazing scriptures with John chapter 15. Such a mystical drink, people. Which translation do I want to choose from? I'm going to choose from one of the real childlike ones. The Good News Bible. Remain united to me. I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can only do so if it remains in the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for you could do nothing without me. Oh my goodness. As we just realize, like, we have been placed in union with him, given all his riches, all of his goodness. We've been made holy, sanctified through and through. There's not a part of you that isn't perfect. It's not a part of you that isn't holy right now in Christ. You may not have woken up to it yet, but it's still the truth. And anyway, there are so many scriptures on this, guys. In the next few segments, I will go into some of the tough scriptures. But just as we started this, there were already questions of people saying, wow, it seems like there's so many more tough scriptures than scriptures that agree with your perspective. And so I just wanted to list off. I think we just went through several dozen of them real quick. And there's so many more that were just coming to mind even as I was reading this. But again, I'll place the list in the comments section. And I would love if you want to add more to them, say, here's some more scriptures that confirm the finished work or inclusion or the whack or the goodness of God, the grace of God, add those. Or if you want to challenge, if you like, I don't understand this scripture. What about this scripture? We get it. You know, the book, the Bible is 66 books written over thousands of years by different people in different eras as they were inspired or God breathed on by the Holy Spirit, in different cultures and different languages. You know,
the Bible is not always the easiest book to understand. And anybody out there who says we just believe the Bible, that may be their goal, but each and every one of us is still learning and growing. And we do need to have enough wisdom to slow down, to just let Holy Spirit speak to us. We're not going to understand every scripture. And at first, there'll be ones where we're like, I just don't get how this fits with the goodness of God or the gospel. And that's okay. Some of these passages that we're going to go over in the future weeks, I had to leave for a while, some years, until God saw fit to open my eyes to that. And so let's not just pretend that we all believe in a clear, plain reading of scripture. We're all learning and growing, dealing with ancient texts, dealing with all kinds of different types of writings. And I've firmly come to see, because of these scriptures and because of the resonance of Holy Spirit within me, who is always love, that unconditional love revealed in Jesus Christ, the nature of Christ revealed at the cross, when it, instead of lashing back at us for killing God, for destroying the planet, his heart and his arms were wide open. And he says, I love you so much that I'm making you complete. I'm making you whole in the midst of this. And so because of all these scriptures and because of the resonance of Holy Spirit, Jesus and Abba living in me, and I know their love, I know their goodness, I've begun to, you know, to be able to interpret the Bible. You know, we say that Jesus Christ is the ultimate lens to interpret the scripture, and it's ultimately what he did on the cross, saying, Father, forgive them. What the Father was in Christ and Holy Spirit was in Christ. They were all there speaking, we love you, we love you, for God so loved the world. And so that's my heart behind doing these this tough scripture series, is so many times we've missed this huge, full package of the gospel that's given to us to live in bliss, in holiness, in real victory in this life, not just pie in the sky for after we die, or even worse than that, this picture of a judgmental, critical, harsh, angry God. But these scriptures confirm so much, such a beautiful God, guys. Amen. And so add more to, you know, add more scriptures to this list, and send in emails if you want of tough scriptures to info@thefirehouseprojects.com. That's info@thefirehouseprojects.com. You can always send me a message on Facebook and I'll wrestle with the scriptures with you. I don't understand all of them, but I've seen quite a few of them and I know enough of them because of the gift of revelation in Christ to say that it is finished. Everyone is included in his love. I don't believe one person will be lost. He leaves the 99 to find the one. There's another scripture for you. He's going to have us living in intoxicated bliss as we serve one another in love. And he's brought such a good gospel. This truth sets us free. And so I believe the Bible only confirms this. We're this high, we're this whacked, we're this joyful, we're this hopeful because we read our Bibles, not because we're just tearing parts out of the Bible or because we're reading something else or getting it from some other source. I believe we've been led of Abba, Jesus, and Holy Spirit through an honest reading of Scripture to identify such a full, good, and gracious view of God and the gospel. So thanks for tuning in, guys. Part two, we'll dive into some of the tough scriptures, and I'll probably do a few at a time because I mean, you know, there were like a couple dozen we were going to go through. I'm not going to make 24 videos, but so, you know, it's not going to be as in-depth as maybe some of you would like, but you can always go more in-depth on your own. Hopefully I can just point you in the right direction. You know, some of these scriptures that we thought were so challenging become super easy when you read them in context or you understand a couple of Greek or Hebrew words. And so we'll try to do that. Look forward to it. Love you guys. Bless you guys. And stay jacked up on Jesus. All right, talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to the Firehouse Chronicles with Matt and Katie Spinks. Check out all of the events and other Grace and Glory resources we've been inspired to host at thefirehouseprojects.com. There's so much brewing right now. Also, Matt and Katie do ministry full-time with the support of partners like you. So if you're blessed by our ministry, would you consider becoming a monthly partner or making a one-time donation at thefirehouseprojects.com/donate? The more partnership we have, the more resources and nations we get to reach with this glorious good news. So thank you so much. Cheers, deep drinks, and until next time.